Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. We want to say to all of our moms out there that we love you and we appreciate you. This has been a difficult season for all of us, but I think especially for moms. So again, happy Mother's Day. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We are continuing in our series called Stronger, Strength for the Road Ahead, where we've looked at several passages and characters in the Bible that have given us great examples of how to strengthen our faith, especially in these strange days. In the book of Ephesians, Paul takes the first two chapters to describe who we are in Christ. Then he turns and begins to focus on how we live that out as the church in chapter 4. But in between, we find Paul almost overcome with joy as he remembers all that God has done for us. He begins chapter 3 by saying, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and you can see him stop and then go off on a tangent. He talks about his own calling, his mission to preach Christ to the Gentiles. He talks about the fact that even though he is called to go to all the Gentile nations to preach the gospel, he's writing from prison. Then starting in verse 14, we see him get back to what it looks like he originally set out to do, which is pray for the believers there at the churches of Ephesus and for us also. Look at chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 with me. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." In verse 16, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be strengthened with power, not just encouraged, not just have their spirits lifted, but that they would be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit to have the ability to do three things. And the first thing he wants us to do is to have the strength to allow Christ to dwell in your heart. Paul says that the Ephesians would have power so that they, through faith, they would have the ability to make room in their hearts for Christ. What Paul is praying for is a deeper experience between Christ and his people. He yearns for Christ to settle down and feel at home in their hearts, not just a surface relationship, but an ever-deepening fellowship. The word dwell means more than just set up a residence. It carries with it the sense of being comfortable, being welcomed into all the rooms of the house. We know that Christ comes to dwell in our hearts when we receive him by faith as our Savior. But Paul here is referring to us making room for him in all aspects of our hearts and our lives. As Christians, are we making room in our hearts for Jesus? Not just receiving him as Savior, but making him Lord of our lives. The issue is not if Christ lives in you, but how comfortable is he in our hearts? Is Jesus really Lord of your life? Or have you confined him to a single room or area of your heart and life? Inviting a person to stay at your house overnight is different than adopting a family member. You can clean your house to entertain guests, but you can't do that with family. Your family knows where your junk drawer is, right? I was reading a great illustration of this from a man named Robert Boyd Monger. He was a Presbyterian minister and author, and he wrote a sermon that turned into a book called My Heart, Christ's Home. In it, he has a quote about this verse. He says, "Without question, one of the most remarkable Christian doctrines is that Jesus Christ himself, through the Holy Spirit, will actually enter a heart, settle down, and be at home there. That Christ will live in any human heart that welcomes him. And in his book, he pictures the Christian life as a house through which Christ goes from room to room. In the library, which is our minds, Jesus finds trash and all sorts of worthless things and proceeds to throw them out and replace them with his word. In the dining room of our appetites, he finds many sinful desires listed on the menu of the world. And in the place of such things as prestige, materialism, and lust, he puts humility, meekness, love, and all the other virtues we as believers are to hunger and thirst for. He then goes through the living room of fellowship, where he finds many worldly companions and activities. He goes through the workshop, where only toys are made, into the closet, where hidden sins are kept, and so on through the entire house. It's only when he has cleaned every room and closet within us that he can truly settle down and be at home. So often we think we have to be the ones to clean up things before Christ will enter our hearts. But instead, Jesus says, just open the door for me so I can come in and I will take care of the cleaning if you will allow me. Paul prays that you would have the power that Christ may truly dwell in your hearts through faith. Not just that he would be savior of your life, but that he would be Lord of it as well. Secondly, Paul prays that you would have the strength to understand and know the love of Christ. Paul prays that we would have a clear understanding of the sacrificial love of God. Paul is praying that we would be able to see the dimensions of God's love and then actually take it to be our own. How big is God's love for us? To understand that, you have to understand the price that he was willing to pay for your sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And John 15:13 tells us, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." Maybe you have never realized how much you need a Savior, but you do. How do we know? Well, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent his only Son to die a horrible death for you. That is how we know we need a Savior and how much God loves us. You know, Jesus often told stories to teach truths about God. One time in Luke chapter 15, he did something pretty unusual. He told three stories in a row with the exact same point. In succession, he told the same story in three different ways. The first one is the story of the lost sheep. The shepherd left the 99 that were safe to go after the lost one. He searched high and low and up and down, and finally he finds the lost sheep and brings him back home safely, and then throws a party to celebrate the lost sheep coming home. The second one is the lady who lost her coin. She searches high and low for it, and she finally finds it. And when she does, she calls her neighbor, and she brings them all over and throws a party. The third story is of the prodigal son. The son runs away, then comes home, and when his father sees him a far way off, he runs out to meet him. He hugs him and kisses him on the cheek and says, "We're going to have a party to celebrate my son being found." What was Jesus trying to teach in all these stories in a row? The common denominator is that in each story, something valuable was lost and found. The sheep really mattered to the shepherd, and the coin really mattered to that woman, and obviously the son really mattered to the father. The point is that you matter to God. In each of these three stories, there was no rest until that which was lost was found. Ephesians 3:18 tells us God's love is long it is long enough to last forever. That's what makes it different from human love. Human love sometimes wears out. That's why we see so many divorces. But God's love will never stop loving you. It's long enough to last forever. God's love is wide, wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place that you could go in life that God's love is not with you. Now, you may not always feel it in the way you want. In fact, some of you are going to feel alone, but you will never be alone. That's because God's love is everywhere. There's no place that you can be where God's love isn't. It's wide enough to be everywhere. God's love is also deep, deep enough to handle everything. There is no problem, no pressure, no stress, no difficulty he can't handle. You might say, I'm in the pits right now with all of this stuff going on. Let me tell you, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. God's love is also high, high enough to cover all your mistakes, no matter how big that mistake may have been. God loves to forgive. He loves to help you start over. Paul prayed that we would be able to grasp just how much we are loved by God. Thirdly, Paul prays that you would have the ability to experience the relationship that he wants with you. His prayer is that we would not only have an understanding, but have a true experience of God's love. He says that the love of God surpasses knowledge, which means it's not just about understanding it mentally, but taking hold of it and experiencing it. God loves you so much that he wants to have a relationship with you. You're not on this earth to simply make money, retire, and die. You were put on this earth because God made you to love you. You were created as an object of God's love, put here to have an in-depth relationship with him. One of the things that made the religious leaders of Jesus' day so ticked off at him was because he taught that we could refer to God in intimate, loving, and personal terms. We can call him Father and friend. You can have a personal, warm, intimate, and loving relationship with the Creator who made you. It's not about religion and rules. It's about having a personal relationship with God. You may think that you are the furthest person away from God in the world, but he still wants to have a relationship with you. You may think you have committed the unpardonable sin beyond redemption. God wants to have a relationship with you. You may have done something you're so ashamed of and regret, but God wants to have a relationship with you. You may be addicted. You may have stolen to support a habit. You may have gotten involved in sexually illicit stuff, but God still wants to have a relationship with you. There is nothing that you can do that will make him love you any less. Nothing you can do that will make him love you any more. That's because his love is based on whom he is, not what you've done. Have you experienced this love? At the heart of the gospel is the truth that God loves you and longs that you would experience his love. For those of us who are already believers, Jesus said that the world would know that we are Christians by our love for each other. But to be able to communicate God's love to others, you first have to know it yourself. I want you to take a moment during this next song to pray that Christ would give you the strength to allow him to dwell in your hearts, that Jesus would truly be Lord of your life, to pray for the strength to not only understand his love, but that you would grasp it and know that love, that type of love, in a powerful and personal way.